Good evening. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name, of course, is Scotty Reed. Broadcasting from behind the enemy lines, I refer to as USA Inc. Look that up. Find out what it means. You know, we like to leave bread crumbs, but it's up to you to follow those crumbs. So welcome to this broadcast on this January the 30th, 2017. Broadcasting from the Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. So just want to give a shout out to everyone out there, and especially to those who are following us on some of the new platforms that we are broadcasting on and some that we have come back to. Well, mostly all of our live broadcasting is done at our network home, but of course we are distributing podcasts on the other networks, and we just want to thank those who have been showing us that love. And make sure y'all share the podcast on your favorite network. Invite others. That's how we spread information. So let's get into some breaking news on this Black Talk Radio News broadcast. Again, my name is Scotty Reed. Want to talk about this recent terrorist attack. It is so many angles to this story coming to you out of Quebec, Canada, where a mosque was attacked. That would be the Quebec Islamic Cultural Center. Six people killed, I believe, many more injured. I believe there was reports of about 50 people who were in attendance and praying when this suspected terrorist, Alexander, I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's a form of Alexander. He's a French Canadian, but his name is Alexandre Bissonnette is how I believe you pronounce his name. And he has been arrested for this heinous terrorist attack on Canadian soil on peaceful worshippers. And we're starting to see a pattern. There's a possibility this could be a copycat person. There has been no shortage of people who look like him, classified as white in a racist global system, who have been committing these sorts of acts of terrorism. Now, again, as I mentioned when I first came on air, there are so many angles to this, because you have, in relation to this story, again, coming to you out of Quebec, a terrorist attack on Quebec Islamic Cultural Center. Nine people killed. Don't have an exact number of the injured, but up to 50 people were terrorized by Alexandre Bissonnette in Quebec. So, but here's the other angle, and this is this whole trending news that the corporate media has pushed, but we should use it as an opportunity to counter their propaganda. But talking about fake news, you know, as a CEO, former CEO, I got to get used to saying that, former CEO Barack Obama, on his way out and during Christmas around that time, with the passage of the NDAA, that's the National Defense Authorization Act, which basically funds the military, but they attach other bills to it. And because it's looked at as a must-pass bill, these other attached legislations also get passed. And one of the things that was attached to it was like a new classification for fake news and propaganda. I'm sorry, I don't recall the exact name of this particular legislation, but where they can just determine somebody to be producing propaganda that is undermining the United States government. So, in a nutshell, it's anti-First Amendment, it's anti-free speech, but the Constitution has only existed for administration after administration to break the very laws it has been charged, or these individuals have been charged with upholding that they take these oaths. But it's just a pattern and practice that we see throughout history. So when people cite law or say we are a country or a nation of law and order, they're talking to poor people. They're talking to the average Joe. They're not talking about themselves. They're not talking about the people who really pay their salaries and give them all kind of gifts. But they're talking about us. The other people that get away with crimes like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, George Bush, Dick Cheney, the list goes on and on. No, the law never applies to them. But anyway, we have Fox News spreading fake news, and that's nothing new. And they're all guilty of it. Don't want to paint the picture that I'm some partisan reporter, because I'm not. But they have been caught with their hand in the fake news cookie jar. So Fox News, along with the Trump press secretary, I don't know who said it first. I don't know if Fox News put it out, and perhaps Donald Trump and his team, Sean Spicer, maybe they monitor Fox News and they're watching Fox News. And so Fox News comes out with this fake news talking about that the attacker, this terrorist, was of Moroccan descent, a Muslim of Moroccan descent, and just reporting in fake news. I can't say it any simpler than that. And that turned out not to be the case. The person that they named was a witness that the police were getting information from. He was a victim. He did not get shot, but he was not the one who committed this heinous act. But Fox News and the Trump press secretary, Sean Spicer, particularly was accused, according to an article in The Intercept, of using it to exploit and uphold the what's been described as the ban on Muslims, the ban that has, I'm a military guy, I'm an old military guy, what we describe as a cluster F, you know what, you know, a cluster. It's just a mess. It's a big old mess. He's created this big old mess with banning certain countries or their citizens from traveling here to the U.S., and that's turning out to be not such a wise act. We do have related news to that. So, again, this is something that has global implications of what's going on here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. right now. Now, again, this guy has been arrested, and he's facing 6 counts of first-degree murder and 5 counts of attempted murder. And he used a rifle, a firearm, to kill these people during prayers. And this just sounded very familiar, very similar. And that's why I'm asking a question. Is this guy a fan of Dylan Roof? Was this a copycat attack? This cowardice attack on a place of worship, on people who are worshiping, and during, while they're praying? Because from the reports, and we'll play the clip of Dylan Roof explaining exactly what he did, the racist white terrorist Dylan Roof, it was stated, I think it's pretty much fact, that he waited till everyone closed their eyes, were holding hands, and in prayer when he pulls out his handgun out of his little fanny pack and starts gunning down people. This sounds very similar, except for this guy used a rifle, Alexandre Bissonnette, suspected white racist terrorist. And we'll get more into what his friends say about him. So it's not what I'm saying about him, it's what his friends saying about him. It's about looking at the evidence, and the evidence thus far suggests that this was a right-wing racist terrorist, white nationalist, and who was also anti-immigrant. And again, I believe he may have copied this cowardly act from Dylan Roof. Dylan Roof said he targeted people in church because if he went to quote-unquote drug dealers, they might shoot back and kill him. So they're looking for easy victims. These are cowards. These men are, I mean, I really can't find another word without cursing or, you know, calling them out their names, but that name does apply. These are cowards. A coward waits for people to bow in prayer, close their eyes, not paying attention because they're trying to focus on their prayers, and you use that as an opportunity to gun people down. I mean, it's just terrible. It's terrible. It's a very heinous crime. So also in related news, the Trump administration's travel ban on citizens of seven countries identified as quote-unquote Muslim. We have been seeing widespread protests. I don't know if we can call them widespread. When we say that, we mean in several cities if we want to be accurate, but I would not describe them as mass protests. There are not millions of people at the airports like what we saw in different places across the country during the recent Women's March. We not even a quarter of the numbers, not even 2%. I think I've heard it described as a couple of hundred people maybe at these individual airports there. So we can't say these are mass demonstrations in support of victims of racism, with Donald Trump seems to be a true believer in the religion of white supremacy. So in this protest, it is, however, international, obviously, since it affects travelers from all over the world. So the African Union is the latest to join in the international protest by condemning the United States for singling out Muslims. And they also pointed out that three of the seven countries are members of the African Union. And remember, Fox News and Sean Spicer, Trump, what's the title, chief spokesman or press secretary, Sean Spicer? Well, they just gave you fake news that the terrorist attack was committed by a Moroccan. Therefore, the indication is this Moroccan was Muslim, even though they could have been Christian, they could have been an atheist. A Moroccan is a nationality. Morocco is a country. It's a nation. But they play on the ignorance of people. The media manipulates the minds of the masses, and they a lot of times don't think critically about these things, and even I sometimes have fallen victim to it. I'm not trying to say I'm above it. But remember, they said that this was a Moroccan, turned out to be fake news. Now, the African Union just voted to readmit the African nation of Morocco back into the fold after Morocco had left the African Union 32 years ago. So all of this is interconnected. It plays out politically across the globe. What we're seeing is geopolitics at play here. A South African politician, she worked, I believe, in the Justice Department, South African Justice Department. Her name is, and I'm going to try to pronounce the sister's name correctly, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, had some very interesting comments. I wish I had them to play for you tonight, but she said that the very country to which many of our people were taken as slaves during the transatlantic slave trade has now decided to ban refugees from some of our countries. Again, this was a former member of what was his name? Nelson Mandela's. He was president at the time. She was part of his administration. And her name is Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. And she went on to say, "What do we do about this? Indeed, this is one of the greatest challenges to our unity and solidarity." And I would disagree with her. I mean, it is a great challenge, but there have been many great challenges before, as Libya, which was invaded by the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton personally oversaw that CIA operation of regime change, where you had terrorists, right-wing, real right-wing Islamic terrorists who were protesting, or not really protesting, but were killing people in Libyan cities, targeting the people, targeting black people by their race, Africans by their skin color. And this is who the CIA and the U.S. State Department and the Obama administration sided with and told you through fake news that these were protesters and that Gaddafi was about to slaughter his own people, although news coming from the continent told you otherwise. And it has been documented after the fact, you know, and this occurred in 2011, but after the fact, that these are in fact, were in fact lies, fake news. So I feel like that was a great challenge to the unity and solidarity of the African Union. Do they not have like a mutual defense agreement? Why did they stand by while those Arabs, and I don't want to make it about racial classifications because evil knows no color. It comes in many forms, many shades, many ethnicities, many nationalities of very different religions, various religions. But, you know, it's just sad that we allow the mass media to get us to back or say nothing about while the government, the CIA, was arming these people and assisting this overthrow of a country that you had a standing treaty with, a peace treaty with. Let's just call it a peace treaty signed by George Bush. And these Libya had gone after. Now, I didn't like it, but I'm not a head of state. I know you have to weigh the pros and cons, but they allowed the CIA, Gaddafi's government did, to operate in Libya to target these al-Qaeda terrorists. But see, I guess Gaddafi really, really fell for, he must have did not know. He had to have had a clue, or he thought he could overcome it, but he should have known but that these people he was working with were funding and in fact founded al-Qaeda. I've heard people refer to as al-CIA. So yeah, it was interesting though that they said her comments were interesting, and I think it also puts another spin on it because these protests, because you have different commentary, which you should expect with people of varying opinions and different viewpoints and different world or perceptions of the world. So of course you're going to run across those, but you now have people here in the United States who are criticizing those who are standing up for those who are being detained at the airport, standing up for their so-called civil rights, what is known as due process rights through the Bill of Rights. International law will also be at play here, and you know, going out again, it's not a lot of people, only about 200 or so, I think, is the largest number I heard reported at one of the airports. It's not a lot of people in the city, of probably a million or more. 200 people is nothing. So we shouldn't act like, and of course, you know, media can give you that kind of perception that there's 1,000 people out there, when it's really not. It should be thousands out there, but it's not. It's not. A lot of people are just going about their day. They don't care about it. But then there are those who want to criticize those who are activists and work on these issues full-time, advocate for these issues full-time, want to criticize them, and then try to get the different groups they belong to look at these people funny. Oh, Muslims participated in slavery 4,000 years ago, 5,000, however many years ago. We know about the Jewish involvement. We know about the Arab involvement. We know about the European involvement in slavery, but what a lot of us don't want to acknowledge is also the African involvement. We'll come up with caveats and excuses of why it's okay for us to help kidnap children, because the average enslaved African victim was a child, 16 years old was the average, and it makes sense. Again, they pick on the weak. Like these guys going in shooting people with their eyes closed while they're engaged in prayer. This is cowardice. This is cowardice. So, I mean, I don't see the connection. I don't see how it's logical to bring up the fact that black people are Muslims, people all different colors of Muslims. Malcolm X was a Muslim who I look at as the master teacher, in my opinion, on human rights and recognizing the humanity and working towards, you know, real solutions, which would require the involvement of all groups. So that's who I follow. So, I mean, I don't understand it. Perhaps someone who holds that view, that I, as a black male, should not be producing content or pointing out that this is wrong, to just ban people based on their religion. Never mind the Constitution. I don't, you know, too much follow the Constitution, because then you then have to give credit to racist white men who were enslavers. Many of them were rapists, committed all kind of crimes against humanity. But I just like Malcolm, focus on the human rights. Ask yourself, is this how a human being should be treated? Lay all the labels aside, all the classification side aside. It's as simple as, is this mistreatment or not? Is this injustice or not? But if you have a differing viewpoint and you want to explain that in a way that may seem logical, we'll decide after you present it. But there is a lot to talk about, many issues intersecting here. And let me give out the telephone number. The telephone number, if you have a comment, is 626-213-5779. It is 626-213-5779. If you're on the board, you can hang out and listen. Anytime you want to comment, just press 1. And I will see you on the board. We'll get your question or your comments. So the breaking news is the fake news. It's not so much the fake news, but it is the breaking top story is the terrorist attack that occurred in Quebec, Canada. Again, as far as we know, he was by himself. Somebody could have dropped him off and full well knew of the plot and trained them and might have been at somebody's firing range. So this investigation is just getting started. And so Fox News and Trump Press Secretary Sean Spicer again were caught pushing fake news and alternative facts. So The Intercept, in an article written by Glenn Greenwald, reports on this story. You can find it at theintercept.com. It was published earlier today on this January 30th, 2017. Mr. Greenwald, who I think is wanted by the United States government for publishing Edward Snowden's leaks that he had attained to show that the United States government was involved in mass surveillance of its own citizen and in violation of its own laws and constitution, and it's not stopped and nobody's been prosecuted. So I do believe Mr. Greenwald lives in South America and he pretty much stays in that area, pretty much holed up like the guy over WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, is holed up in that embassy in whatever country he's in right now, Ecuadorian embassy, I forget which country. So that's who Glenn Greenwald is, independent, fearless journalist. I ain't going to say he fearless. Well, he just got common sense. He know not to come back to certain areas because you're going to catch two bullets to the head like Gary Webb, and they're going to call it a suicide. Shout out to the memory of Gary Webb, who exposed the CIA crack cocaine conspiracy of the 90s, and I'm willing to bet you a dime to a dollar they behind the heroin epidemic that we see now. So anyway, let me continue. I didn't mean to go off on that. Mr. Greenwald says a mass shooting at a Quebec City mosque last night left 6 people dead and 8 wounded. The targeted mosque which was the Cultural Islamic Center of Quebec, was the same one at which a severed pig's head. See, these are barbarians, people. These people are savages. They're savages. Now, I know you can buy a pig's head because some people eat pig's head. I hope they didn't go kidnap somebody's pig and chop his head off and then leave it at these people's place of worship during Ramadan. But this is just go to show you how terroristic of these people are. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called the episode a terrorist attack on Muslims. Well, at least the Canadian Prime Minister is telling the truth. At least he's using accurate words to describe. And he was just talking about at the time a severed pig's head being left at this mosque during Ramadan last June. But what do we hear here in the United States? It doesn't matter what talking head it is. It doesn't matter, as Dave Attendo Radio would call them, celebrity figureheads that's part of USA Inc. as board members. You call them representatives. They never call such attacks terrorists. Even John Lewis, I've never heard John Lewis refer to what Dylann Roof did as terrorist act. I could be wrong. It's not like, you know, I have a bug in his office and I'm sitting around recording every word that come out of his mouth. So if he has said something, but the general, when these occurs, these things happen, these terrorist attacks happen, they describe it as crime or hate crime. Same thing, but a hate crime. They don't call it what it is, a terrorist attack. Of course, all terrorist attacks have an element of hate to them, but let's not make any kind of distinctions there. And I know liberals was behind, and even black celebrity figureheads was behind this, and the media played a role in selling the public on less enhanced sentences for murders by calling them hate crimes instead of calling them terrorist acts and applying the penalties that you would apply to any person, regardless of their national origin, that attacks quote unquote so-called Americans. But the fact that you don't call these terrorist attacks on Americans when it is white males with a white nationalist ideology or religion, the religion of white supremacy, that the mainstream media, the U.S. government, all of these represented, they do not refer to them as terrorist attacks. I am glad the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, recognizes it and calls it what it is. You have to name the evil. You have to name it. Almost immediately, Mr. Greenwald continues, various news outlets and political figures depicted the shooter as Muslim. Right-wing nationalist tabloids in the UK, probably owned by Mr. Rupert Murdoch, who also, guess what, owns the parent company Fox News Corporation. Right-wing nationalist tabloids in the UK instantly linked it to Islamic violence. Fox News claimed that, and this is in quotations, witnesses said at least one gunman shouted Allah Akbar and then added this about the shooter's national origin. This is in quotation marks. Suspect in Quebec mosque terrorist attack was of Moroccan origin, reports show. Well, what they're showing is a tweet by Fox News. They tweeted that at 12:30 noon today. Suspect in Quebec mosque terror attack was of Moroccan origin, reports show. Now let's pay attention. Let's go ahead. Do I even follow Fox News? I should, because I try to follow all the enemy media. Yes, I'm following them. Okay, so I'm gonna be monitoring them to see if they can continue. Now that we know that this was a white terrorist, a white nationalist terrorist, probably a Catholic, since he's a French Canadian, it's possibly he's Catholic, but he's a Christian. And let's see if these right-wing publications that have thus far described it as a terrorist attack, when they were pushing the fake news that it was a Moroccan, which is code word for what? black people, because it's in Africa. They know it's in Africa. It's a lot of you that probably don't. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, according to Mr. Glenn Greenwald, exploited the attack to justify President Trump's ban on immigrants from seven Muslim-majority countries. This is in quotations. It's a terrible reminder of why we must remain vigilant and why the president is taking steps to be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to our nation's safety and security, Spicer said at this afternoon's briefing when speaking of the Quebec City attack. As I've already told you, Mr. Greenwald goes on to write that these assertions turned out to be utterly false. The suspect is neither Moroccan nor Muslim. The Moroccan individual, Mohammed Belkader, was actually one of the worshipers at the mosque, a victim, and called 911 to summon the police and played no role whatsoever in the shooting. So let me ask you this, though. Since Barack Obama signed that NDAA 2017, it has the provisions in it about they can really treat you like an enemy combatant, strip you of all your rights, because they're stripping you of your First Amendment rights in the first place. But will they use this, will the Trump administration use this against Fox News or whatever reporter is behind this, or call for their firing, or jail them, send them to Guantanamo Bay, waterboard them maybe, since he likes waterboarding people. He supports that policy, rather. Yeah, I don't know. He may have actually waterboarded people. I don't know. The stuff that people in this, all over this world are into that you would never know about. But anyway, the actual shooting suspect was 27-year-old Alexandre Bissonnette, a white French-Canadian who is, by all appearance, a rabid anti-immigration nationalist. You know, we saw a lot of this in the UK. We've seen it in Italy. Other countries, I'm trying to remember, I think I did an interview with a white journalist and a filmmaker who was in Norway, I believe, one of those Nordic countries. But this, she talked about it then, how the immigrants are, now you're starting to see, like in the local papers, politicians demonizing these people based on their skin color, their physical differences and attributes, and really trying to appeal to their fellow white counterparts to get in on practicing mass racism, which turns into terrorism. Again, we've seen it in all these European countries, and of course here in the United States for quite some time. Someone else, Francois Deschamps, told a local paper, he is a local immigration rights groups advocate, said that he recognized the Bissonnette's photo as an anti-immigrant far-right troll who has been hostile to the group online. So this is one of those dudes that troll you, one of those people, I should say, that troll you online and just come at you all sort of ways, sort of the, how we get trolled on the social media because we are self-black identified media operation, because black media matters. Go to blacktalkmediaproject.org, make a donation to help us continue our media operations. And our mission is also to assist others. You know, this is just so sad that we allow the media, we believe, we put so much faith on these people just because they're on television. But we've been attacked online because we're a black, we identify as a media outlet. We make media and content because people tend to want to hear what people look like them, share certain cultural aspects of shared oppression in the case of racism, white supremacy, the global system, slavery. So we want to hear from people who look like us. I mean, everybody's like that. So But people will troll us and they assume that we supported Hillary Clinton or we were against Donald Trump, like we were bought in to as a media organization and into these political labels, and like we're on anybody's side. We're trying to analyze the news from a perspective on how it's going to impact our social, economical, political group in this country. So anyway, he's one of those guys. Somebody should have been keeping an eye on him. I wonder if they, NSA, now again, this is Canada. Maybe Canada doesn't spy on its own citizens like the United States, but I heard it's a global network, though. But I'm surprised that this guy didn't attract any attention from the authorities. There were no preemptive strikes on him or anything of the sort. So I do need to take a station identification break again. If you have a question or comment that you would like to get in, you can do so by giving us a call at 626-213-5779. That's 626-213-5779. And we will take your call, but we're going to take a station identification break. We also have some independent music for you tonight. Two new artists. I don't know how new the songs were, but I have a library of like music, and we have artists that submit music to the station, and I don't always get to play it because I'm primarily a news talk radio program, but I do like music. And when we want to incorporate it into the program to let you know that there is more hip hop out there, more so-called rap music, more R&B music being made by black people that is not talking about killing other black people, that's not talking about selling drugs. I mean, if they are talking about it, they're talking about it from an analytical perspective and letting people know that ain't no kind of life and the traps that's being laid. So we have a lot of independent artists that you probably will never hear about because you won't hear them on the local corporate stations that give you 24/7 murder music, especially if it's targeting black people. So you won't hear these artists, you know, they're not supported by the mainstream. So we have to get them support where we can so that we can encourage them. We have to buy their music so that they can continue to produce this media that we are consuming. So support the media artists, the independent media artists, whether they're podcasters, broadcasters, artists making music. Media, as Malcolm Warren, he was talking specifically about news media, but I want to apply it to all media. But Malcolm X taught me that media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It can control the minds of the masses, make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. So we got new music for you tonight. Flipside Entertainment presents Stop Police Brutality will be the first track. And then when we hit the second hour, we'll hit you off with some Dice Raw, a track called Over. He's been a guest actually on New Abolitionist Radio, a program that airs on the network. You can probably have checked out the podcast no matter where you're subscribed to us. We're on several different platforms, but again, our home is blacktalkradionetwork.com, and New Abolitionist Radio airs every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, talking about modern day slavery and human trafficking. So we're going to take that station identification break. Roll Flipside Entertainment presents Stop Police Brutality. And if you have any questions or comments, get them in at 626-213-5779. I guess we'll also open up that chat room. And we'll be right back.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, this new crazy mother.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Nowadays you gotta be cautious to breathe if you stand up. Shots fired if you're black with your hands up. In a hoodie walking home, you a damn thug. Cops training to kill to forget about the handcuffs. Don't do a crime on the corner selling cigarillos or a store, cause the itchy trigger figure will blow. Prejudice people all around us. Crooked cops, so much pain but stains the innocence. Now look and watch how much the media gravitates. The sadness, hate, distraction takes over you. Just let the madness break and look a little deeper. The truth is there to teach us. The freedom of violence belongs. Mommy can finally reach us. We gotta protect and take hold of what we're needed. First to liberate oppressed people of this region. It's gonna take time, patience, and determination. But if we rival what we survive through, it takes a nation. A ballot, a bullet, together we'll have retribution. War, your home, come along with your revolution. Never fear, be brave, in a moment we'll do it. And rest in power, my brothers, because we are revolution.
Freeze! Don't move, black man.
I'm Puerto Rican.
Well, you fit the description with that tan. Plus, you look suspicious, so this is your last chance.
Please, officer, my baby said save me the last dance.
Last chance!
Don't you see my hands up high? Ask anybody, I'm a stand-up guy. I'm calm and collected, just look me dead in my eye. Check my wallet, no Chris Wallace, I ain't ready to die. What if my car couldn't stop well? And I hit a minivan full of cops, would I get shot like Sean Bell? What if I needed help like Jonathan Ferrell? Would they clap me and handcuff me after my body fell? Would they give me one chance to show identification? Face down and unarmed in Fruitvale Station? So what chance was Oscar Grant and Sean off? None. What if they had toy guns like John Crook?
Can I live? Can I walk in the street with my kid? Can I be on the block, even chill in my spot without catching something hot in the rib? Can it be too much to ask to be passively asked to see I'd be off rib? Can I get that courtesy before you try to murder me? USAPD, can I live?
When freedom was bought and sold, the Underground Railroad created a need for the slave patrol. The Fugitive Slave Act was how they stole 12 years of slaves, stacking fortune off the slave back, time for payback. Getting free men separated way past unequal. Today is the sequel, the prison industrial complex, where high tech lynching's in effect, where cops are the lynch mobs who don't get punished. So much evidence of this, lack of proof to convict, but no indictment out of trial really suffer consequence. And you wonder why we riot, cause the cries don't get the gist, and we blocking up the highway and you mad about this, but you're simply not seeing the point. Don't get the drift that the system isn't broken, it was designed for this, and it's past overdue to create a rift. Do we do it by any means necessary? Yes.
You guys coming out of that?
What's up, Bob?
Huh? Get against the wall.
Turn around.
Get against the wall. Don't worry about what's going on. What are you filming for? What are you filming for? Back up.
Mr. Officer of law, please stop, cause my eyes are sore. You're from what I just saw. You was breaking legs and some jaws, and you're trying to start a war, cause your action's setting it off. Don't even take us to the mall. You're leaving bodies on the floor. This is raw. I said I can't breathe, but you're making me cough. See, this is a bloodbath scene, leaving stains on the wall. Even in dire need, I ain't making a call. You took another man's seat, I don't pay you at all. And this is nothing to laugh. My people stuck on the craft. To you, this is target practice, and we just in a blast. I look suspicious, but you're running too fast. When I try to preach my rights, you say I'm stuck in the past. My body lunch in the back, and I get touched for a sack. You don't think it's whack that you don't need a warrant for that. I think it's funny how our government acts, and all I'm spitting is facts. The counterattack is a gun in the bag.
This my genesis, bringing my sonic to the system. It's an old game they play called You're the Villain. A psychology automatically gives them the hero feeling. This injustice leads to super wrong, man. I'm revealing. How you gonna kill a man and get paid leave? Reduce his life to a checklist killer ambition to me. Got the badge, gun, taser law. You ready for war? Unarmed, dead, no weapon. Found those George Bush doors. What have you occupying the wrong area? Scarier. They find the officer innocent, though it's caught on camera. Now the officers are bad, which is true. Let me vent. If you see wrong, don't say shit. Silence is consent.
sent. I had guns drawn on me and it wasn't even odd. Never broke the law before, how we end up at this bar? This isn't about bragging on my skills, that's my choice. Words are heavy, gotta be strong to lift every voice.
A conversation with a friend sends me to descend to a stressful place again for acts I can't defend. By the police, he told me they harassed his ass. Walking home late at night cause he is of working class. He didn't deserve that, but he didn't act up. One cop turned to four when officer calls for backup. Handcuffed, started searching his person with no regard. Then they slammed his face hard on the hood of the squad car. They were asking, where you going? Who you knowing? What you smoking? You ain't coming from work. You out hustling, you must be joking. Black man with a hoodie spirit never broken. I was captivated by his story as he spoke it. When he finished, I began pacing. My thoughts racing, my fist balled. Tears fell with no hesitation. My boy could have been dead if I walk home late one night. In my next, who protects us from them?
So many Rodney King ass beatings later, and I screaming more than the why can't we get alongs. Why don't you see me in my clothes? All you see is threat. Bare naked brown skin, and all you see is threat. Why don't you see me? Pen to paper, teeth ripping scream, I matter. My life matters. I am art made carnate. I am music made flesh. I am soul, intelligence, passion, anger, mistake, flaw, correction, revision. I am heart, love, strength, weakness. I am music. I am music and you don't hear me. I am art. I am art and you don't see me. You see only target practice and kill shots. Kill shots saying, I'm unarmed. Kill shots saying, I can't breathe. Kill shots becoming the last scream of, I am human too! The dark brown human, light brown, wrong shade of brown, brown in baggy clothes, brown in hoodie, brown in fitted cap, brown skin moving, brown skin breathing, brown skin threatening, brown skin bullet pierced, police batoned, bleeding, brown skin dying. Now you see me.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast from behind these enemy lines that I refer to as USA Inc. And so, oh man, I really enjoyed that track. To be honest with you, that's the first time I have heard that track in its entirety, and I probably had it, y'all, for about 6 months. So shout out to Flipside Entertainment Presents with their track Stop Police Brutality. Excuse me, let me give out the correct track so y'all can look it out up, the correct name. Stop Police Brutality Heat. That's track number 16. Again, that's put out by Flipside Entertainment Presents. So if you want to get some of your music on air, you're an independent artist out there, the mainstream ain't giving you any airplay, just send us your tracks at info@blacktalkmediaproject.org. or admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com. Send us your radio clean versions. Even though the internet's not regulated, we do try to keep it as clean as possible for our listeners. We want to try to keep the network family friendly, but it's not a requirement because sometimes we just have to tell it like it is. And that's what we strive to do here on the network, blacktalkradionetwork.com, which is verifiably the world's number one or largest independent black media platform engaging in digital radio broadcasting and podcasting, a collective of independent black media producers. Please check them out. Give them your support because we're going to need independent media more than ever, especially independent black media. That's why black media matters most. And I should say in this era of Trump, it will really matter that we are able to counter
the white supremacist propaganda, which has always been in rotation, been in the programming, but it's going to intensify. So we have to counter that. If you look all throughout, anytime one group of people have oppressed, enslaved, abused, subjected another group of people to their authority, propaganda has played a role in that, in dehumanizing the intended victim, so the other people will have an excuse to go along with what they know in their heart, if they have hearts, is wrong. Okay, so let's go back and give you some facts, not fake news like you got from Fox News today, not fake news like you got from Sean Spicer, the Trump press secretary. No Muslim committed this attack on Muslims. I mean, that should give people a clue right then and there. Why would Muslims attack other Muslims? Why did, would they have seen them as being collaborators? And before I forget, let me throw that point out there about the Trump Muslim ban. Let's just call it what it is. The Trump Muslim ban on non-white people coming into this country, because if they are citizens of that country, it don't matter what religion they practice or if they practice any at all. And the audacity of them to put Libya on the list after you destroyed the country, you created the refugees, now you want to ban them from running from them ISIS terrorists you use to overthrow the country, who had then started beheading people on the beach. That's on you, United States, specifically on the former administration, Obama administration, with Hillary Clinton playing a heavy role in that. But sitting at the top of it all is people like, I wish he would just kill over and die of a massive catastrophic, maybe a heart attack would be too painless. I never had a heart attack, so they don't look like they're painless, but I'd rather he have a aneurysm or something for the migraine of all migraines for about 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and then just be in agony. And then, but Henry Kissinger, who is still in advisory, unofficial, unelected advisory positions to every administration, regardless of its political affiliation. But I want to give you some facts, not fake news, about this terrorist, this Christian. I don't know if he practiced Christianity, so let me not say that. We don't want to engage in spreading fake news, but he is, under the system of racism, classified as white. His name is Alexandre Bissonnette. He has been accused of killing 6 people and wounding 8 others in a barbaric massacre Sunday night, according to Heavy.com. Heavy.com likes to put out them fire quick facts. That is where this is coming to you from. I usually link my sources up. All the links go to the entry, the podcast that'll be posted later on blacktalkradionetwork.com under the category Black Talk Radio News. So this is coming to you from heavy.com, where you can double check my sources. The 27-year-old entered the Centre Culturel Islamique de Quebec and opened fire with a rifle, shooting members of the mosque as they prayed, police and witnesses say. So again, this is similar to what Dylann Roof did when he went into Mother Emmanuel African-Centered Church, historic landmark in the fight for slavery, which continues to this day, with a march against legalized slavery coming up in August this year on Washington, D.C. Hope y'all participate in that and give your support in whatever way possible. But Dylann Roof walked in there and killed them while they were praying. He just waited till they start praying, probably were holding hands, closed their eyes. And I actually been in a situation like that before. I was in a program similar to Alcoholics Anonymous. This was like 20 years ago and they was like wanting you to hold hands with people and say whatever. I think it's the alcoholic's prayer or something like that. And I don't pray with everybody. I don't hold hands with everybody and engage in spiritual acts because I, as a spiritual person, know the dangers of opening yourself up spiritually. And they got offended. They got offended, but, you know, so I walked out. I didn't participate. I don't think I'd have participated with Dylan Roof up in there. If I had participated, I at least never closed my eyes. My eyes would have been on him the whole time. In fact, everybody's eyes should have been on him. Trusting the complete strangers who fit the profile of terrorists in this country historically and today. How many times do we have to see these people do this until we don't need the U.S. government's permission? We don't need anyone's permission to start treating these people like the terrorists they are. We need to stop acting like we are on a battlefield where we have some people protecting us. We have to protect ourselves. We cannot allow people to just walk up into our places of worship unguarded, unsuspecting, and allow these acts to continue to occur. Dylan Roof already told you they targeting soft targets. He didn't want to target the hood. He didn't want to target any other people that he thought of as the rap industry stereotype that he see, you know, Lil Wayne and them be singing about, rapping about, and seeing these images of black men with guns and hearing them on the radio talk about blow each other face off. So he didn't want to confront no people like that because he's a coward. He's a coward. He wasn't ready to die for his belief in his religion of white supremacy. So they're picking soft targets. And we are not, the government is not putting any kind of extra security. You got here in the United States, hundreds of right-wing terrorist organizations pushing a white supremacist ideology. But yet they are allowed to operate legally. They're able to use the banking system. They are not on anybody's terrorist list. And then you wonder why these people feel emboldened and encouraged to commit such heinous terrorist attacks. So this guy was in police custody. He was being questioned this morning, again, charged with 6 counts of first degree murder and 5 counts of attempted murder. That's according to the Toronto Star. Friends and those, this is their words, friends and those who knew him online said he had extreme political beliefs, but was not known to be violent. Eric DeBroy said he called police after the shooting and told them Bissonnette is very right and an ultra-nationalist white supremacist. The French language newspaper Le Journal de Quebec reports he really liked Donald Trump and he had a permanent discontent with the left. So here we have a terrorist inspired by Donald Trump, inspired by people like Dylan Roof. I know Dylan Roof was smiling when he heard Donald Trump became the next CEO of USA Inc. The person being quoted here said Bissonnette had cut ties with many friends recently, the newspaper reports. His family told the newspaper they believe he fell under the influence of someone. Yeah, Donald Trump. The white supremacy propaganda that was being promoted by CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, all the major networks. It's White Supremacy News Central. A second man, Mohamed El Khadir, a Moroccan immigrant also called Mohamed Belhadir, was previously identified by authorities as a suspect. He was taken into custody near the mosque and questioned, but Quebec Provisional Police said in a tweet Monday afternoon that he is not a suspect. He is a witness and he is a victim. The victims range in age from 39 to 70 years old, police said. They are area men who live there. 5 of the victims, Azadine Sofian, Khaled Balkasimi, Abdelkrim Hassan, Boubaker, the BT, and Ahmed Yunus have been identified. Those are five people who have been confirmed killed. A friend told the Montreal Gazette that Soufiane was a father of three young children and was well known in the community. We just lost someone who was very, very nice, a good person. Such a loss, someone who was so welcoming, who helped everybody. So again, I want y'all to pay attention. Let me see if they have any more facts about this guy. All right, here are the facts. I'm just going to go down on one, go down each one. Read the bullet points to you. Give me just a moment. I have to check our boards and make sure that we are still connected. It looks like we may have lost our connection. Let us try to reconnect. No, we're still connected. Okay. All right. Got a little confused there. My bad. Working with this new board. So, let me go over the 5 points. Number one, thisisheavy.com saying it's facts. Says Bissonnette has right-wing pro-Israel, he's a Zionist, pro-Trump, and anti-immigration beliefs, a former classmate says. Goes on to give supporting documentation. A lot of it, obviously, because I'm still scrolling. And this is a pretty long page. So they did a lot of research in this, documenting his social media history. Point number two, bullet point two, just 17 minutes after the shooting, Bissonnette called 911 to say he felt guilty about what he done. Dylan Roof still ain't expressing no remorse. No, I don't know this guy. I don't think you have a conscience to even feel guilty. You're just going to now play the role so that you can possibly, I don't think they had a death penalty in Canada. Three, Bissonnette was taken into custody about 14 miles from the mosque on a bridge over the St. Lawrence River. Something about thought the car was rigged with explosive. Number four, the gunman wore a mask and shouted Allah Akbar during the shooting, a witness said. Oh, so he thought he was going to be a crafty terrorist and blame it on other Muslims by putting on a mask and coming in and yelling Allah Akbar. I guess since it's working for the CIA and the Al-Qaeda affiliates and what have you, some of those people that I've seen in those photographs. Y'all seen the photographs of some of those people in there, out there in Iraq. I haven't seen any really recently, but when they was cutting people heads off and showing them with these M16s and stuff, so I guess he figured he'd learn something from them. I do recall a story of two special forces dressed as Arabs, as Muslims, getting caught in Iraq in a beat up car full of explosives. The implication was they were committing terrorist acts in Iraq to blame on insurgents. So anyway, continuing, let's see. I think that was number four, right? Let's move on down. Got a couple of videos and stuff here. I'm not going to play them. The same mosque was the target of a hate crime. Here we go with that language. Last June, when a gift wrapped pig's head was left outside. I agree with the prime minister. That was a terrorist attack. Just as this is a terrorist attack. In June 2016, a pig's head was left outside the Center Cultural Islamique de Quebec, the same mosque where the shooting occurred Sunday, along with the note, Bon Appetit. Very, very disgusting people. They have pictures there. I have linked to this article, so if you want to check it out. So again, I can't stress enough the need for self-defense. I've talked about it primarily after Dylan Roof did what he did, committing that heinous a terrorist attack based on people's skin color in Charleston, South Carolina, at Mother Emanuel. Nine victims of this terrorist attack. And you want to talk about, or we have people who want to talk about non-white terrorists or Islamic terrorists or Muslim terrorists. All of these countries, as it has been pointed out, are countries that the United States has destabilized or engaged in some kind of regime change. And just weeks ago, you all, many of you were on here talking about some Russians hacked the election. Now, I don't know enough about the senator named Tom Tillis from North Carolina, who has been a selected to represent the district I live in. But during those hearings and questioning of this so-called fake evidence from the CIA, he cited the work of a researcher who said the United States had been involved in regime change, interfering in at least 81 different countries' elections since the creation of the CIA. It was pretty interesting that Tom Tillis, a conservative Republican, would mention that. So, but maybe he listens to Black Talk Radio, I don't know, where we talk about such things. Anyway, continuing on, that's really all I have to say. But I want to stress again, I really want to stress the need for self-defense and exercising not your constitutional right, but your God-given right to bear arms in defense of yourself, your family, and your community. You need to start mounting armed patrols. I mean, some of this stuff would be preventable if these cowards just saw more than one person out in the parking lot doing patrols around the property. This property, I saw a Google map of this property that was attacked where this mosque is in Quebec, and it was very easily defensible. Now, do you want to stop every white person that comes in the door, what have you? You do might want to put them through extra security checks, might have to run the wand over them. We have to put these security checks in place ourselves. It is apparent that Homeland Security is not securing mosques, not securing black churches, and that is not something that we should look for others to do for us. Because then how can we trust them? They might be in on it. So anyway, like we saw in Minneapolis with a police officer recently resigning who had exchanged text messages with those white terrorists who had also tried to pretend like they were Muslim, had on masks, and shot those protesters that was camping out, occupying that police station in Minneapolis in protest of yet another victim of police terrorism in this country. So I don't want to go off on a tangent. Let me see. We've hit the top of the hour. Again, if you have any questions or comments, don't be shy. All perspectives are welcome. The only thing that is required is mutual respect. But you need to come with facts. You need to come with a logical explanation for your point of view. But we can discuss these things. It's all about not about being who's right. It's about finding what's right, finding the truth in all of this. But our phone number is 626-213-5779. Again, my name is Scotty Reed. This is BTR News. I regularly broadcast on Saturday nights from 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Black Talk Radio's digital radio station. You can find that, of course, at blacktalkradionetwork.com. But we also stream that program live on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. We don't stream it live on Blog Talk or Spreaker, but we do upload the podcast. And we just added as well, Black Talk Radio Network just added, what is the name of SoundCloud, already picking up subscribers. So no matter what platform you are on, when you hear the sound of my voice, become a subscriber and share it with others. And if you believe that black media matters, especially in the time of Trump, in this Trump era that may last for at least 4 years, if he don't resign first, make a donation to our nonprofit blacktalkmediaproject.org is the website. You'll find donation buttons on many of our media properties like blacktalkradionetwork.com and our help site where we have tutorials teaching you how to do your own digital radio broadcasting, podcasting as well, just trying to help people harness this new media to be the media that they want to see. By the way, we also, the Black Talk Media Project, that is, I'm speaking of specifically, host classes and webinars every Saturday from 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The classes are free and open to the public. This Saturday, we're changing it up a bit. The first hour is going to be a class on specific topics or a topic, because many of these things can take an hour to talk about the different areas, and then people have questions. But the second hour will be an open Q&A session to where you can ask me a question about anything that you may have a problem with that's involved in digital radio podcasting and also platform building. I specialize in WordPress, and we do provide those type of services, like getting your own media platform as your home base of operations. Not saying you can't distribute in other places, but nothing like having a home base to always go have. We also help provide those at a low cost. And you can find out more at blacktalkmediaproject.org. So again, I'm going to take a station identification break. The telephone number is 626-213-5779. That is 626-213-5779. It is, in fact, January the 31st at this point, as it is about 8 minutes after midnight as we are in the Eastern time zone. So let's take this break. We have some more music coming your way. This is we got Over, the track called Over by Dice Raw. That's Dice Raw. Mr. Raw is a abolitionist, because we interview him on New Abolitionist Radio, and one of the tracks that he produced directly involves, talks about the prison industrial complex. So again, this is Scotty Reed. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses.
Soul's eyes, never learn to live life to the soul. block I used to hang on. We celebrated every time a nigga came home and poured liquor out when he was on his way home. To God and the band just played on. We sing along, don't let the cops catch us, and pray our mothers to give us an inhale to smoke and drown out our livers and mix it with our tears. And somehow it overfloods the rivers. The pain's never forgotten, but somehow we keep rocking and rolling, inspired by Trojans and keep strolling through the storm. Never stop till they feel the warm sun rays beaming down on their neck. And do it all without breaking their balls or sweat. It's all about respect. Throw up your set, man, say it with your chest. When you rap where you from, young player, never forget. Life's tricky like a game of roulette. Yeah.
Another day in the life of a young soul trapped in an old soul's eyes. Never learn to live life till it's over. And we spent those nights under those street lights on the corner shooting dice.
Gangs, many wars with cops kicking in niggas' doors. If you wanted it, had to go all out for yours. It feels like 2012 and not much has changed. Still see niggas trying to scramble for a little change. Niggas getting killed over a little change. And it's crazy cause niggas don't find this shit a little strange. The pain's never forgotten. Somehow we keep rocking and rolling, inspired by Trojans. They keep strolling through the storm. Never stop till they feel the warm sun rays beaming down on their neck. And do it all without breaking their balls or sweat. It's all about respect. Throw up your set. Say it with your chest. When you rap where you from, young player, never forget. Life's tricky like a game of roulette. Ha ha.
Another day. Young soul trapped in an old soul's eyes. Never learn to live life till it's over. And we spent those nights under those street lights on the corner shooting dice.
To Black Talk Radio News. That was Dice Raw with It's Over. Well, actually, the track is just titled Over. I added the it part. But yeah, check him out. Support his music. Support these independent artists. I know sometimes we get nitpicky over the use of the N-word, nigga, or nigger. But, you know, let's not nitpick these artists if the overall message is positive. What I don't want to hear is people talking about killing people, selling drugs, pimping people, disrespecting women, just all kind of criminal-minded type things. That is brought to you by McDonald's. Check your local murder music station and give a listen to who's sponsoring that message on your community airway. So this is Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from Black Talk Radio Network. Before I get into some of the other news that I have listed there, especially this ban, I'm of the mind that Donald Trump is doing damage to the global system of white supremacy that's still practicing slavery legally through the 13th Amendment. But he is doing damage, and I'll talk about how he is doing damage from an insider's perspective, being one who once was in the United States military, participated in a war in Iraq. Although I never set foot in Iraq, I was stationed in Saudi Arabia in a communications support position. And I'm looking at it from that perspective. If I was a member of the military or the U.S. government, this man has just made it very, very dangerous. I would stay on base. If I was stationed in Saudi Arabia right now, I don't know if we have any bases there permanently, troops there permanently right now. I can't say, but I would not be going downtown Riyadh and going up in Wendy's or any of those shops. And I would, man, I would stay on base. I would not, cause he has made it dangerous. He's made it dangerous for you. But on the flip side of that, I'm going to talk about how he's doing damage to the system and their ability to recruit proxy racists. But before I do that, I want to tell you about an event that's coming up this weekend. Let me pull up my calendar. On, let me see, what date is this? February the 1st. So that would be tomorrow, Wednesday. It is Tuesday morning right now, but tomorrow in Baltimore, Maryland, will be a session called Malcolm X Talks, Enforcing Maryland's Civil Rights Law. This will be the first Malcolm X Talk of 2017. It's being sponsored by the human rights organization LBS, based in Baltimore. They're co-sponsoring this month's talk with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights. They will be presenting how Maryland residents can protect themselves from discrimination in the areas of employment, housing, public accommodations, and state contracts. The MCCR, which again, that's the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, also directly receives complaints from any resident who experiences discrimination in those areas. I'm actually thinking about a young lady here in North Carolina. I think she was in Greensboro. She was a guest on a independent radio station that operates off of Black Talk Radio Network, but you will catch their podcast as we do distribute their podcast, The Context of White Supremacy. I can't recall her name right now, but she was experiencing racism from a suspected racist manager of the affordable housing complex that she was living in. So this is along those lines, those sort of things. So the in Maryland, again, this is going down in Baltimore tomorrow. The MCCR also directly receives complaints from residents who experience discrimination in those areas. Come learn the process of how to file a complaint. We'll have lots of time for question and answer to address any of your questions and concerns. This event is free and open to the public. You can learn more about it. This will be from 5:30 p.m. Eastern to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Again, this is in Baltimore, Maryland, tomorrow, February the 1st, 2017. LBS is sponsoring it, and you can find it posted in btrcommunity.com. That is the social media network that was set up for the listeners of Black Talk Radio Network. It is a subscription-based social media network, and you could do many of the same things that you do on other networks, but it is a subscription-based. We ask $24 a year so we can continue to remain independent. It is not advertiser-supported. There are no ads on it. The only thing being promoted is what the members promote. So just that is where you can find this event listed. Again, this is tomorrow, Malcolm X Talk of 2017, Enforcing Maryland Civil Rights Law. The Maryland Commission on Civil Rights will be in attendance, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. The address, that's what I was looking for, 231 Holiday Street in Baltimore, Maryland. The area code is 212-202. Again, that's 231 Holiday Street, Baltimore, Maryland. So it's all, even if you're not having problems, it's always good to be prepared and to arm yourself with information. All right, getting back to the news. Getting back to this news. Trump administration's ban on these countries, several of them African countries, about three of them. The African Union has already come out and condemned it. I'll get more into what was said by one of the politicians out of Africa, out of South Africa, specifically in about the transatlantic slave trade. But let me first address what I was talking about before that announcement that's about what's this civil rights class going on in Baltimore, Maryland tomorrow. How is Donald Trump harming the system? Well, specifically with this ban, if you've been paying attention to some of the reports, some of the people being interviewed, some of the people being showcased, some of these people are like Iraqis, Libyans. Remember, all of these countries the United States had identified during the Obama administration and had either committed the international crime of regime change in those countries, like Libya, what they're trying to do in Syria, going back to the fake news about Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. So when you go into these areas, you have what some people who live there might consider collaborators. I come up with a more, I feel like, scientific term for it. I call it proxy racism. That is where you, as a non-white victim of the global system of racism, and you lend aid and give comfort to the perpetrators of those crimes upon humanity. We've seen it all throughout history. In fact, it is a key component to building white supremacist empires. And so it's when I'm seeing the news and I'm seeing Iraqi translators, people who have worked with the United States military as informants, as translators and whatnot, now you are mistreating them and you're detaining them. And why would anybody want to work with you? Why would anybody give you any information about any kind of impending attacks when this is how you operate? This is both racist and religious bigotry going on here, and it is undermining, and again, I'm speaking as if I was still part of the system. This is undermining national security. It really, really is. But the people that this was done to satisfy, to make them feel like the Trump administration said, we said we was gonna do it. We told all these rednecks that was coming out, all these racist crackers that was coming out, that we was gonna target Muslims, we gonna target immigrants, we was gonna target, you know, these non-white people or non-English speaking people. We were gonna target them, and so he did it. No thought to the wider implications. Again, you cannot conquer a people without inside help. I've seen this repeated throughout history. You can't do it. You need inside help. And this is how you treat the help. You know, I don't mean to be making cracking jokes because it's not funny, but this is how they treat the help. But yet, people continue to help them. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How do we reverse that programming? So I'm just wondering if anybody, I'm sure people much smarter than me have considered this aspect of this whole travel ban. But it doesn't appear that anybody with any kind of influence or clout within the Trump administration is thinking about this logically. Or at least they didn't win the argument. So it's having widespread implications. And again, some of the stuff I'm seeing on social media where people trying to say people should base whether or not they make a comment in support of those protesting, this mistreatment of people, and it is mistreatment. Doesn't matter if they are Muslim. It don't matter if they black or white, as Michael Jackson would say. It don't matter if they Moroccan or from Libya. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. What matters is the treatment. Are these people being mistreated? If you claim that you are about promoting justice, how can you then be coming up with these little side arguments talking about, well, Muslims participated in the slave trade 3,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. I don't care about them Muslims, and I'm a Christian and all this and that. Well, guess what? The Emmanuel Nine were Christians too. So, yeah, I mean, I understand it. I understand where it's coming from. Don't mean to sound as if I'm mocking these people, but I am. I guess I might well tell the truth about it. I am mocking them. Those are the thoughts that I have when I see that type of stuff. I'm like, you're not really thinking about the big picture. You really haven't studied history and how they target one specific group, and nobody seems to care because they don't belong to that group. Then next thing you know, they're targeting another group. Then another group. See, Hitler did not start with Jews. Hitler started with people classified as quote unquote communists. Then nobody stood up for the communists. Then he targeted the trade unionists. Oh, you want to be in the union? You think people should get fair wages? You think that you should have some kind of worker rights? We getting rid of you too. Then he started targeting, In no particular order here, but he was targeting what? Afro-Germans, black people, black Germans, that we're a global people, melanated people all over the globe, and not just recent immigrants. But he started targeting non-white Germans, gypsies, people classified as gypsies, culture, had a certain culture, had a certain, you know, ethnic language of their own, targeted them. He targeted all these people. He had probably killed about 5 million already before he got to the Jews. Were the Jews, and we must speak honestly, at that time I wonder if the Jews in mass, I'm not talking about individual Jews, but if the Jewish papers, the Jewish business class, when they was targeting communists, what were they saying about that targeting of communists? What were these Jews that were being targeted, these Jewish Germans, German Jews, were being targeted before they got targeted? What did they say about when the gypsies was being targeted? Did they try to help the gypsies or anybody? So this is what I'm saying is the danger on waiting till they get to you. This is why people speak out. This is why people stand up. This is why I don't have to look at a person's skin color or what language they speak or what religion they practice before I will make a decision on whether what is being done to them is unjust. So we must not let that sort of thing distract us. Now, as I mentioned, the African Union, some of these countries are in Africa. You have Muslims who are African. And again, just because of these countries are being identified as majority Muslim, this doesn't affect just people who practice Islam. This affects whatever religion they practice. It's not, you know, it affects them because they hold citizenship in these countries. So we must take a wide view at these things. We cannot take a singular view or a narrow view. And we have to think outside ourselves, because what happens on the outside can eventually make its way into the inside and get to you. Right now, you know, at this particular moment, black people, African descended people, have always been the canary in the coal mine in terms of dangers to individual liberties and freedoms. But at this very moment, with this new administration, with a new CEO of USA Inc., the canary in the coal mine right now is our Muslims. So the African Union, which just recently in the past 24 hours admitted Morocco back into the African Union after how many years? I think it was something like 32 years. You could Google and look up why they left the African Union. But remember, the fake news of Fox News and the Trump administration was telling you a Moroccan person of Moroccan, I don't know if you, how you going to say Moroccan descent. That's a nationality. It's not an ethnic group. It's not a religion. It's not a racial classifications or artificial political in order to uphold racism and white supremacy. So, you know, again, I pick up on these things when I read them. So, but this, they try to blame it on a Moroccan national. Somebody with ties to Morocco, somebody with ties to Africa. And it turned out to be this white terrorist, white nationalist, according to people who know him, Alexandre Bissonnette, also a Trump supporter, anti-immigration. These people have a profile. Again, if they come up into your church, the biggest, strongest person or two persons need to be sitting on either side of that person and watching them at all times. If they even try to go in a bag or something, you better be all over them. Stop presenting yourselves as sheep to the slaughter. But the African Union has denounced this ban, standing up for three of the countries that's part of the African Union, but really standing up for everybody. But Nkosa Zana Dlamini Zuma, she is a former South African politician during the administration and successive presidents. I think she worked for three different presidents in South Africa, starting with Nelson Mandela. She's described as an anti-apartheid activist. She was South Africa's Minister of Health from 1994 to 1999. Under President Nelson Mandela, and then Minister of Foreign Affairs from 1999 to 2009 under President Thabo Mbeki and a guy who succeeded him. This is according to her bio. This is what she had to say. She said, "The very country to which many of our people were taken as slaves during the transatlantic slave trade has now decided to ban refugees from some of our countries. What do we do about this? Indeed, this is one of the greatest challenges to our unity and solidarity." Again, I already made my comments about the invasion of Libya being a challenge to your, not only your unity and solidarity, as Libya was part of the African Union, but a challenge to the entire prosperity of Africa with what Gaddafi was proposing with the African currency backed by the gold dinar. Which is why, of course, the Obama administration, led by Hillary Clinton, we have her on tape admitting to the plot to murder a U.S. ally on paper. We have emails because she committed the crime of using unsecured server. And we know from emails she traded with Sidney Blumenthal, so many things, but also with a president of France, which I think held some of them countries still hostage to the French franc. So they don't want African countries to come together, form their own currency backed by the very precious metals that are in the earth, that are there, that will put them, make them immediately the number one economic power on the planet. Why do you think China is cutting deals with so many African countries? So that was their greatest challenge, and they failed to rise up to that challenge. So are they learning from their mistakes? I can't say. I don't know if Ms. Dlamini Zuma is speaking for herself, or if anybody was with her and were they were co-signing on what she had to say. Now, on the topic of unity and solidarity, it is of my opinion that while we should strive towards that with a message for the masses, those who are in positions of, I don't want to say leadership positions, but who are playing key roles in organizing, we cannot be, we have to be suspicious. We can't be looking to unify with everyone. We cannot show solidarity with everyone based on skin color. Just like bell hooks, the counter-racist feminists, or the anti-racist feminists, I should say. I like that word better, anti-racist. The anti-racist feminist bell hooks said she couldn't support Hillary Clinton for president because just because she's a woman, we have to look at her politics. We have to look at the things she was involved in, like Libya. So we just can't be unifying with any woman is what bell hooks was alluding to when I say the same thing to people who look like me, people who work with me. We cannot be looking only solely at skin color and thinking that we could unify, because that is how the enemy has used people among us to infiltrate, spy, sabotage our movements. Let us learn from history. So I always put that out front. I do not unify with everybody, not even on a business tip, not even on a business tip, because I believe in conducting business ethically. And if in the course of doing business with somebody else that's in business, I find out they're doing their business unethically, I do not do business with them. So anyway, good to see the African Union speaking out. I want to be honest, it didn't take a whole lot of courage or bravery to speak out, but it's still necessary all the same. The only way, I think Malcolm X might have said, no, Martin Luther King might have said it, or Edmund Burke, I'm not sure. But the only way for evil to persist is for good people to do nothing. And saying nothing is the equivalent of doing nothing. We have some people that don't even have enough courage or empathy to say anything until, guess what, they're knocking on their door and then it is too late. We do have someone on the board, I believe, has a question or comment. I'm still trying to get used to this new board, but let me see if area code 484 has a question or a comment. You're on air. This is Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi. Well, I just actually called in, so I didn't really catch the whole entire conversation. I just went online, so I'm looking at the topic, so I'm not sure exactly what you guys are talking about. But I did get a chance to hear how you were talking about how I do have a question.
Yes.
My question is, and I'm asking, I'm not a Trump supporter at all, but a lot of times when I go out and I talk to amongst like my family or friends, a lot of them kind of get offended by the message, not the message, the things that I say. I'm not a Trump supporter. I think he's arrogant. I really don't think he should be president. But my thing is, when they talk about everything in the news, they're talking about the immigration. And so my thing is, when we're dealing with a lot of the white supremacy and the things that's going on, not only do we have to educate ourselves and listen to our leaders and our people, but in order for us to kind of be a step ahead of the game, we have to listen to the things that they say out their mouth. So with that being said, when they talk about the immigration thing, like, I'm not totally, I support the illegal immigration thing that's going on. And a lot of people think that, how can you say that because I'm a minority? And like you said, not everybody supports the same things that we support. So with that being said, if you look at it from we here, we live in America, and so we already dealing with a lot of crazy issues here in America. We already not being treated equally and fair. We already know that. So why would our people be so supportive of people coming over illegally? I'm not talking about the illegal immigrants. When you're talking about we have at least, what they said, like 30 million from Mexico that's coming in illegally, that's taking the jobs from particularly the black people, or people of color that's not, that's pretty much what they call in skill, how can our people not have an issue with that? Am I wrong to have that opinion about that?
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for your call, and I will give you my observation on that issue. Okay, this is my observation. I'm looking at a bigger picture here. First of all, I'm looking at the system of racism and white supremacy as a global system that seeks to subjugate and enslave non-white people all over the planet. Now, with that said, the corporation known as USA Inc., that's what some people call the United States of America, I call it USA Inc., and is partner corporations that could be Walmart, that could be any of these Fortune 500 companies that go into these countries, and they destabilize those countries. They destabilize them with the gun walking program, giving gun drug cartels American weapons, assault weapons, talking about you trying to stop crime by arming criminals so that you can bust them. Then you got the DEA cutting deals with Sinaloa cartel, that guy they about to put on trial, El Chapo, and you giving them a free lane smuggle drugs from the border all the way up to Chicago. This stuff is documented. I read about it. I'm sorry, I'm getting some feedback somewhere. Okay, let me see how I work this board. Okay, yeah, I had to place you on mute. I was getting some feedback. You know, I'm looking at this whole immigration enforcement as a fraud. They not going to cut off their supply of cheap labor. If you believe that, then, you know, you don't have all the information. And what jobs are we talking about? We're talking about jobs at McDonald's, taking orders. We're talking about landscaping jobs, doing gardening work, working for rich white people, making sure their roses are pruned and their lawn looks pretty. Okay, we ain't talking about no manufacturing jobs. We ain't talking about putting no cars together. Or no, we're talking about low-paying service jobs. Okay, so yeah, that is a issue with us competing with quote-unquote so many illegal people. I don't know what the count is, because if they quote-unquote illegal, how do you know how many there are? I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about the media that's quoting these statistics. How do you know? These are just estimates. They estimate, so they could throw out any number. We don't know. All right, so these people, but let's say, you know, they are causing other problems. I don't even want to talk about that. All right. So anyway, what Trump is talking about is just rounding up all of these people, whether they here illegally or not. It don't matter to me. But he's talking about rounding up people, putting them into private prisons. These private prisons is practicing legalized slavery via the 13th Amendment. We saw with his election, with those promises of quote-unquote immigration enforcement, that the private prison industry stocks went through the roof, to use a metaphor, where they were almost went out of business when the Obama administration mentioned they were no longer going to use private prisons. But Donald Trump loves private prisons, and he's going to fill them up with a whole bunch of quote-unquote immigrants who have fled places and came here because of what the United States government has done in their countries. These are refugees. Let's just be honest about it. These are refugees, just like I just got talking about the Libyan people trying to leave all the countries that the United States has overthrown and bombed and supported terrorism, creating these refugees. Same thing with these so-called quote-unquote illegal immigrants. Just because the United States hasn't overthrown the country of Mexico, don't think they aren't doing other things that has destabilized it. Why else would mothers south of the border send their children to the United States without any kind of parent, with nobody looking out for them? That they're so afraid their children are going to be killed that they send them across the border. They don't know what's going to happen to their children. They could be giving them to somebody that's going to sell them into the underground child pornography industry and be held as sex slaves. These mothers are in a they have to be in a desperate situation. So I'm looking at their humanity. I'm looking at what the racist white supremacist has been doing to us all, and what they're doing right now, and that's practicing slavery. So anything that's going to grow modern day slavery under the 13th Amendment, legalized slavery and human trafficking, because again, they ain't never tried to really secure the borders, and they not going to secure the borders, because then they won't be able to fund their illegal wars that they do through the supporting drug trafficking. So there's a lot of information. There are a lot of perspectives. Again, I don't fault anybody for the viewpoint they hold, because they hold that viewpoint based off of whatever information they had access to or were exposed to. I don't assume everybody reads as much as I read. I read more than other people because this is literally my job and has been for 8 years as a independent journalist. Now, I do more than that with through the nonprofit, but, you know, so those are my thoughts. It's growing modern day slavery. So do you not think they're going to be putting black people in them prisons right alongside them quote unquote illegal? See, illegal is a way to demonize the people when they were justifying why we should enslave Africans. Yeah, look at them. They got big nose, monkey lips. They not even human. They worship in trees and coconuts and stuff like that. So let's target them. Nobody'll care. So now that we use the term illegal to apply to human beings to take away their humanity, we never consider that. I'm not going to say we are the cause, Scotty didn't do nothing to them. Scotty didn't sign no orders to send no guns across that border to put in the hands of violent drug cartels. Scotty did not cut no deal with any drug cartels to allow them to smuggle drugs across the border to flood the inner cities of America. Scotty ain't do none of that, so we ain't do it. But we need to consider that this government is doing stuff like that. And it's documented. You had these South American countries say, guess what? We want to legalize cannabis. If we legalize cannabis, then the drug cartels, which get 70% of their revenue from cannabis, they will lose a major chunk of their business and might go out of business, and it'll lead to less violence. So we will, Uncle Sam, please, can we determine our own future and our own internal matters and legalize cannabis? In the United States, Uncle Obama said no. Not if you want to keep getting millions of dollars in aid, millions of dollars in military equipment, or any other kind of welfare payments we giving you in order for you to do what we want you to do. So I take the viewpoint, I look for the root cause of problems. The problem, the people coming across the border, quote unquote, illegally, children being sent up here unaccompanied, that's a symptom of the problem. The problem, in my opinion, based on my research, is the destabilization of the countries that they are fleeing. All right, let me see if I can work this board better. 484, we got about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay. Well, you know, you made a lot of valid points, and I agree with a lot of the things that you said, so I'm not going to disagree with you totally. But, you know, we have to look at, like, this is how I look at it. Like, other countries, they have the issues. It is what it is. The same way that we had to go through slavery and all that other stuff, we had to come together as a people and overcome all these things. What I'm looking at it, from an economical standpoint, even if we listen to the things that even Republicans that speak about not so much of the Democrats when they actually put it out where the illegal, not legal people, the illegal immigrants, when they come in, the jobs that they are taking from people of color, like, that's my issue. And we also have to look at it, like, they get more benefits than the people that are here that's already poor, that's already considered to be living in poverty. So why not deal with the people that we have in poverty here or issues with people here rather than taking other people from another country and they getting more of the benefits than the people that are in poverty here? And it basically affects people of color. Like, that's really...
Let me put it this way. We got short time. Let me address some of the things you just brought up. First of all, illegals do not get benefits. They don't get EBT or anything like that. They trying to hide from the government. They not trying to give the government their address or anything like that so the government can I'm sorry. Let me finish speaking, ma'am. That's how we try to roll. We don't like to overtalk each other. Again, I only have a few minutes, and so I'm gonna close this out. But illegals don't get benefits. Anybody that is getting benefits, I live in a county that has a small population of quote unquote Hispanic people. We calling them illegal, but we don't know what their documentation is. Any of them who are getting any kind of EBT, they had a proper documentation. Now, again, in terms of any illegals taking away anything from us, we are not looking at this as slavery. A lot of our people can't get jobs because they've been branded with the felony
90 seconds
with the felony slave status. So you got a felony, you ain't getting a job. And there are no jobs coming back. Where are all these jobs? You need to become an entrepreneur and create your own job. And we need to come up off of being dependent on the government for assistance and learn how to grow our own food and know how to unify and come together like our ancestors did in the past before they created these programs. So instead of me worrying about what somebody else might be getting more welfare from the government than I am, you know, I'm focused on dissolving the whole system. Let's bring down the whole system and start over and build something new. But I do not support slavery in any form or fashion, and it will, no matter who is being practiced against. But thank you for your call and your views. Check us out, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Peace and blessings to all. We're out.
7654321. Oh, this you crazy mother.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.